This is Ryan again. That's I'm in charge of marketing and email internet marketing, and along with part of the story.
This is Thomas. I am the director of the project and also balancing cards.
This is Jess. I guess I'm the rules guru.
I was just gonna say guru.
Rules manager, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. So anyway, that's what I do.
My name is Lance Park. I write the story.
My name is EJ. I do playtesting.
And this is Greg Puzon. I'm the lead design and art director.
All right, so the first thing we're going to talk about is discussing the name change. The name of our game was Time Flux, or was Time Flux. Or talk about the history about the game and just kind of, you know, what happened, why we had to change it. Since Thomas is good with these type of stories, we'll have Thomas take the floor. There you go.
Hey, this is Thomas Rushing. So what happened was we had Time Flux previously as a game, as a name for the game. And first of all, I want to apologize. My voice is, I'm sick, so apologize in advance for that. But thanks. So basically, we had Time Flux as a name for the game. And we ended up getting contacted by a company who uses the name Flux in their games, and you know, we decided that it would be in our best interest and also appropriate for us to change the name of the game. So we changed it to ARC, and ARC is actually an acronym for Aeons, Rifts of Cronus. And so the meaning behind that is we have time travelers in the game, which we've named and defined them as Aeons. And so those are a descriptive word to describe the time travelers in our game is Aeons. And the Rifts of Cronus part is basically a backstory to why how Cronus is still affecting time and how he's causing rifts in time. And so the story, basically, if you haven't read it, you need to go to our website and check it out. It's really awesome. It's under the synopsis for the game. And just go to timetravelgame.com and read the backstory. But this part of the story has not been released yet, so this will be the first time you hear it on the podcast. But basically what happens is during the Nano Age, engineers and people who are working to unearth and rebuild society and the world, they find this cavern with all these strange machines. And it's not until later that they are able to decrypt basically like part of an instruction manual on how to use them. And in decrypting them, they find out they're actually ways to travel through time. They're machines that allow you to travel through time. And they were owned by the god or titan known as Cronus. So Cronus is a titan in Greek mythology, and basically he was he controlled time. And so in our game, Cronus is actually a human. He was a time traveler. He was an Aeon, and he traveled through time, but nobody knows where he's from, what happened to him, where he went. They just know he was very powerful, and he had extremely advanced equipment to be able to give him the ability to travel through time. And so that's the backstory to Aeon's Rifts of Cronus, and our game name is now changed from Time Flux to ARC.
Beautiful job, Thomas.
That's great. So now we are calling it officially ARC as of today. Hopefully we'll be able to change the website and we'll change all those logos and stuff. All right, so segment two, just going over, you know, what are some breakthroughs for the week? Kind of what have you been working on, and did you have any breakthroughs? So I guess I'll pass it on to Greg first.
What I've been working on this week is, past 2 weeks, I'm sorry. Just still trying to get the rest of the artwork, and actually got a hold of our last artist currently that is working on artwork, and he sent a couple rough drafts. Actually had a little bit of bad news this morning, said that his computer crashed and had to do a lot of backing up, so we won't have the next set of roughs for probably 2 or 3 days, but that'll be coming in pretty soon. Other than that, templates are still coming in pretty smoothly. They're almost finished. Actually, that's in a couple other things that we have
gorgeous,
to talk about.
By the way, I've seen so far. Thomas, show me them.
Yeah, they're looking pretty
absolutely
cool.
Absolutely amazing.
And that's awesome for Ryan to say that.
Ryan's a pretty picky guy, so if he says it's good, it must be good.
Other than that, yeah, no actual breakthroughs that I can see of, besides everything coming in at the steady pace and the scheduled time that it's supposed to be. I'm going to go ahead and pass this on over to...
I have to talk a little bit about what he's been working on the last 2 weeks. I'd like to hear what his thoughts.
There we go.
So, if I told you what I've been working on as far as the story goes, I'd have to kill you. But no, I've been working on developing the story. I finished doing the background things for the decks that are going to be coming out, the little paragraphs thing. Other than that, I've been working on biographies for the main characters. I've finished doing Abigail and William Johnson's. So I've been working on that.
We'll edit it out. Don't worry.
Anyway, I've been working on The Engineer and The Purist background. Both characters, Abigail Grace and William Johnson, are the working names right now. From there, I'm probably going to start working on Athena's. The Mercs, I might have to do a complete overall background rather than individual character. I have to talk with a few people and see how that works out. So,
one thing I like, since you mentioned you're working on the biographies, which is really interesting, I'd like to know, why don't you just like share maybe one of the biographies or just kind of give a brief overview of one of them?
Let me do The Purist, who is Abigail Grace. That's the working name. We're definitely keeping Abigail.
My favorite picture.
Yeah, that's actually my favorite picture too.
That's cool.
So I have her pretty much, she's from, what was the name of that era? The Third Renaissance? Am I naming that era right? The Third Renaissance?
Mm-hmm.
Third Renaissance. And so she is a member of what we're calling the Puritan Concordat, which is basically an organization that the Purists belong to. From that, they're called the Purists, that work towards spiritual enlightenment and whatnot with technology, which is roughly about, very, altruistic and whatnot. She, however, is one of those people that is very headstrong. The only reason she has not achieved further success in the group is because she has this tendency to rush forward without thinking, which I thought was a good character flaw to give her. And then from there, it gives a brief overview about how she ended up getting into the time-traveling thing, because they had a project called Delphi. They figured out how to view the past, this group. Time viewing, and then they started another project to try to see the future, which I called Project Delphi, after the Oracle of Delphi, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. And it talks about how she was so naturally gifted, she was put on the project despite her, headstrong nature. From there, it then goes into basically how they saw the apocalyptic era, and they're like, wow, what are we going to do now? And she's like, let's go change this. And the other guys are like, well, I'm not quite sure about that. And she's like, well, I'm going to go do this because I'm not waiting for you guys. And that's just a rough overview of what that one's about.
Interesting.
Thank you. And here's the rules guy, Mr. Dunks.
Hi, everybody. This is Jess. So the things that I've been working on in the last couple of weeks, Thomas and I were working together on a couple of different issues with rules. Things are going really smoothly. We've actually got a basic rule book that should be up within the next 10 to 15 days, probably. That way, for all of you out there that followed us on Kickstarter and were very active with that and downloaded the decks and you want some more information about the rules, there's a basic rule book that's going to have quick start rules and a few more in-depth things that you can look at. That being said, when we started putting everything into actual rules and writing everything down, of course we ran into a few issues here and there and problems that we hadn't foreseen. And so Thomas and I have been working together to make sure that anything that could be unclear or questioned not only is clear and able to be used, but also fits into the intent of the game and the way the cards were designed, so that there's nothing, as you might say, broken, or nothing that turns out to be less fun than intended because it doesn't quite work the way we thought. So we're putting a lot of work into making sure those things work together well, and I'm really excited. This is a great the rule book is a great looking product. You're gonna enjoy looking at it. So that being said, I'm going to go ahead and move on to EJ here and see what he has to say about playtesting and such and what he's been working on.
Let's see. Hi, this is EJ. I spent the last 2 weeks playing with Thomas, who's been helping us, or he's been balancing it. I've been playing against him, and Russ Park, who's not in the room with us today, who's also a playtester. We've just been playing and seeing what little tweaks we made right before the final products. We're just trying to make sure everything's balanced and fair so that not one thing's going to come out and dominate everybody else. And so far, everything's been going really well.
Yeah, I think we're about done, actually, on the playtesting.
Yeah, I agree.
I think you're done. Testing, you're never actually done.
Go ahead, Ryan. What about you? Oh, what have I been working on? Trying to become more active on Twitter. I noticed that we're getting a lot of spam, so it's been kind of, I get my 5 followers goal for the week, but the problem is, a lot of them is not real followers. So, but we did get some few good followers. I'm just doing some research on game reviewers. Thomas had this really great idea of us emailing or contacting game reviewers so that they can we can send them some decks to do a game review, and becoming more. More active in the social media, specifically with Twitter, because mostly we've been doing a lot of our marketing with Facebook, and Facebook's been a good outlet because we all have networks there, but Twitter's is kind of pretty much untouched, people that don't know about us, and part of the community that we need to be part of, because I know people want to follow us there and find out what's going on with the game. At the same time, just gives us a good broadcasting platform. Getting ready, I did a blog post, just kind of my view. Lately, I've been listening and reading to The Hunger Games, awesome book, by the way, and it just kind of gave me some ideas, just inspirations for a story, and just kind of what the current market is into, because part of marketing also, in my mind, is also what the current landscape is for the future, what people think is going to become popular, and what people are interested in. Like, for example, with the whole Twilight and the vampires and werewolves, you got Magic: The Gathering doing Innistrad set block, which has vampires and werewolves,
and
you think
zombies.
And zombies too, yeah. They get it all over the place. So this genre of, that's considered science fiction, right?
Yeah.
So
fantasy,
it's
science fiction.
It's fantasy. Yeah. It's a.
Is it more fantasy?
It's a subgenre.
Could even be gothic.
Okay, so like
gothic. It's considered fantasy. Though.
It's considered fantasy. Okay, yeah. So then we got so we're right now with some movies coming out like Prometheus, and with The Hunger Games. It looks like. It's showing that, with the way the market's going, with what's interested with for young teenagers is going to be science fiction. So we want to make sure that we capitalize on that shift, hopefully. And on top of not just having an amazing game, which we do have, we also want to have a very rich, very deep story that's for, let's say you're not interested in the game, but you want to have something to follow that's interesting. Because, when you're into Star Wars, Star Trek, and you're into those kind of shows, you really want to know more because it's interesting, it's fun to learn. And you never know where this is going to go. And then all of us have our own passions. Thomas is really passionate about the game. I got Lance with the story, Greg with the art, me with kind of a little bit of everything. And just you get to put what you really love into building something that's really amazing and fun. Okay, so goals for the week. So what are some goals for the week?
Goals for the week. Pretty much to be done with almost everything by the end of the week.
So we're still bouncing around from distributors trying to figure out exactly who we're going to use.
Manufacturers?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, not distributors. I'm sorry. I misspoke. Manufacturers. So right now we are looking at, without stating numbers, we are looking at using Cardamundi, but it may be as such that they might just be slightly out of our price range. And so, based on that, we might have to use somebody else for our very first print run. Who knows? Maybe that could be a great thing. Maybe it won't be. Maybe it will be terrible. I won't really know until I see some actual examples of their products and whatnot. We also have to nail down the artwork for the boxes. We have to order our ISBN numbers. There's a lot of stuff still. We opened our business account today. Yay. So I'm just so excited about. Yeah, so that's good news. We're going to be transferring some funds around, and we can start spending money and getting this thing rolling finally and getting it to go to print, so that's really exciting. That's something that the rules. The rules need to be kind of, the basic rules need to be finalized, so I'll be working very closely with Jess Dunks on that. Greg's going to be working on the artwork and making sure that all the artwork comes in and it looks beautiful, just like everything else already has. And Ryan's going to continue to grow our social online base. And another thing that he had set last week as a goal that he achieved was getting us on iTunes. And so he's figured out how to do that. And so good job, Ryan. Congratulations. So we have our last podcast on iTunes. And this one, hopefully you downloaded it from iTunes as well.
What did you learn this week? And what would you like to share with the people who want to start their own big game or business?
So over the last 2 weeks, one of the things that I definitely learned was, as far as developing, and I went over this in the last podcast that we're I'm going to re-include, in this one, is, it's when you think, and I said this earlier in our podcast, but when you think you're done balancing, you're not done. You need to balance and make the changes and then balance. And when you think you've made all the appropriate changes, you need to go back and play again and make sure it's flawless, because it's just a very long, painful process that you have to go through. It takes time.
Very time consuming.
Yeah, very time consuming. You need to have people to play test against, and you need to play test it against people who are really good at games and not so good at games. So I mean, it's really key to make sure that it's fun and it can be played by a novice and an expert. It's really important.
Something that I learned last week, and since we lost that info for 2 weeks, it's still the same, and it's still a very important point, is to always have your deadline scheduled earlier than your actual deadline. Knowing that something needs to be turned in at a final point at some point during the timeline, it needs to be done guaranteed before, say, day A. You wanted to schedule the deadline like a week before that. This way you know in your mind that it should be done then, and for any reason it isn't, you still have a little cushion of about a week or so. That's the one big thing that I learned in the last couple weeks. What about you, Lance? What'd you learn, buddy?
No. What have I learned? I have learned that time travel is a hard story mechanic to write about and keep straight without a big notebook. So always keep a notebook handy if you're writing a story. I have a notebook that's about half full now, full of notes. In fact, I've been writing on it while everyone else has been talking. Writing for characters, I need inspiration. And I've figured out a lot of inspiration you can get is from read role-playing games. You don't have to play them, just read them. Because there's always story ideas in different role-playing games, sci-fi, fantasy, whatever you do. Read novels, read short stories. But like, role-playing games are designed to kind of get your head kind of firing about, I could do a story with this, I could do a story with that. I have also learned that writing about organizations is fun. And plot twists are awesome. Especially when I can't tell you about them. Because it's such a good surprise. So good. What about you, EJ?
I've learned in testing, just, you know, changing, like, someone's attack power from 2 to 3 or someone's life total from 18 to 17 can make huge game-changing differences. Like, you would think one little number wouldn't make a big difference or make something cost one more, one less, but it can change an entire flow of a game or deck. So getting those numbers hammered down is very crucial.
Mr. Jess, anything you'd like to share with the public?
With general public about game development and such.
Goals for the week.
So goals for the week. The first thing is we need to make sure that everything, you know, and Thomas is really working on this, but make sure that everything is ready to go all at the same time. What we're going to do is make sure that we have everything set up so that it's online and ready to go when it's available for customers. They can go, I have a question about this, and we want to make sure that not only are there going to be these resources available, but that those of us that are on social networking sites such as Twitter or Facebook, we're available as well, because there are going to be people going, hey, how does this work? And maybe it won't be answered in the rule book, or maybe it won't be answered by something online. And we'll go, wow, that's really interesting. We didn't think of that yet. This is how this works. Let me tell you. And we want you to know that we'll be very interactive with that as well. So as far as what other people who might be developing games you look at too, I was actually really surprised with how much from other resources and other things I needed when I was working on simple things like the rules. Because I'm coming up with examples for things, going, oh, this mechanic requires an example in the rules so people understand what's going on. I need to know for sure what two cards we're going to use for those examples. What exactly do those cards say? So I need to talk to the people who are doing that. Oh, well, I need pictures of those cards. So what do they look like? Oh, they're not done with that yet. Do we really want to use those cards? You know, and so there have been a lot more working with other people than I thought there was going to be. So keep that in mind when you're doing these. You make sure you schedule these things out ahead of time enough that it all kind of coalesces.
Okay, so goals for the week is just getting our list of artists together so we can email them and contact them, find out what their social media sites are, what they use for social media. and also what their websites and portfolios are, so we can link to their website when we share art for the game or we post stuff on the website. So that's one of my main goals, really it. And then, of course, continuing to work on Twitter to expand our social reach. And then, of course, edit and publish this podcast on iTunes as well. So with that in mind, that's the end of our podcast. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Take it easy now.
Bye.